Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Sam.
And Anthony, Saudi Arabia has said its strategy is to strengthen its fight against IS while also stating it plans to remove Assad. Is it possible for them to be fighting both sides at this point?
Well, I suspect that the second target, i.e. Assad, is what they're all about. They have a very ambiguous attitude to Islamic State, especially elements of the population, the Saudi population, if the regime manages to keep its hands out of it. So I suspect that if they were, and I'm skeptical that anything is going to come of this, that it would be largely directed at the Syrian regime rather than Islamic State.
And since the beginning of this conflict, most nations have been opposed to sending in ground troops. Does the situation in Syria suggest that more ground troops might actually be needed?
Look, on the surface, the idea of sending in ground troops makes sense. So, you know, we've been bombing now for a number of years, huge numbers of attacks on Islamic State targets in Iraq and Syria, and essentially the situation has not improved in any way. On the other hand, you're sending in troops. We've seen what happened with Iraq when the Americans sent in troops. I think Obama is quite aware that the U.S. population, for example, is just not going to tolerate sending in large numbers of troops into that conflict. I suspect that the more likely solution is to be found in getting the various sponsors of the conflict, the Saudis, the Qataris, the Iranians, the Turks, the Americans, and the Russians, to stop arming and aiding and abetting these various violent groups, and give the politicians a chance to speak. Because as it is now, all that's happening is that arms and money and personnel are flowing to these various groups so that they can continue the violence. And, we're just going nowhere.
So on that point, you think that the Syrian army, despite these gains that they've made, have not really been successful because it's not really going to be a victory through this kind of activity?
Well, unfortunately, I think that the impact of the Russian bombing has been to embolden the regime and make the regime feel as if it needn't negotiate particularly seriously. We saw a statement just the other day where Assad said that, you know, he would not stop now until the whole of Syria was back under government control. Now, you know, I think that's a real danger. The problem with the Syrian army has been that whilst it was quite a large army, the vast majority of the troops were Sunni at the non-commissioned level, and the government has not been willing to trust these troops, or at least not in particular circumstances, so that the bulk of the fighting has fallen on the shoulders of the Alawite and Shiite members of the armed forces, and that group is of limited numbers and they're exhausted. So their ability to really hit, deliver a sort of a final blow to the opposition, I think, is really questionable, even with the Russian support.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking to Dr. Anthony Billingsley about the situation in Syria. And Anthony, talking about this Russian involvement, I mean, the Russians have warned the Saudis against sending in ground troops. What would the implications be if the Saudis decide to go ahead anyway?
Well, what we've had up until now, and I mean, this is slightly, I guess, technical point, but what we've had up until now has been a foreign government, or two foreign governments, Iran and Russia, operating in a sovereign state at the invitation of the government of that state, attacking rebel groups. If the Saudis were to come in and engage with the Syrian armed forces, that would be an act of war, and there could be very serious implications from that. I would expect also that the Syrians would respond against the Saudis, just as we've seen in Yemen, in the case of Yemen, where the Saudis have been busy committing human rights abuses. The Yemenis have started to sort of launch the odd missile, etc., over the border into Saudi Arabia. So, you know, there'd be lots of repercussions from such an act.
And we've already talked, I mentioned before, this shocking casualty of about 11% of the population of Syria has been injured or killed. What would it mean? What would any of these possible futures of people taking over the country or governments mean for the population of civilians in Syria?
Well, I mean, one of the interesting things about all of this is that nobody's really asking the Syrian people what they want. It's all being decided in Washington and Moscow and elsewhere. I think despite all the, I mean, you talk about 11%, but you know, something like 50% of the Syrian population has been displaced, and an even higher proportion has been just affected in some way or other by this violence. The Syrians have got a very strong tradition of tolerance and putting up with different communities, different groups. Now, you know, if you look at it at the moment, it looks very sectarian. It looks like there's no way on earth that could be resurrected in Syria. But I think the population, given the chance, would opt for something like that, would say, well, we used to have this sort of society. We can work towards reestablishing it. Now, you know, the presence of Assad or not, I think in all of this is rather moot. The Americans, everybody says, oh, Assad must go. But if he goes, somebody else from the same background is going to take over. The Alawites are not just going to hand over power to people that they fear will massacre them with any willingness. So you know, we have to try and work out how we're going to work around the presence of an Alawite regime in Damascus, perhaps working away from it, perhaps seeing some sort of removal or at least power sharing with the Alawites that guarantees their security if it's possible. But I think we need to give the Syrian people the chance to speak, and that's got to be when the gunmen are taken out of the equation.
And Anthony, just one other thing about the situation. There's this cessation of hostilities plan that people don't really have much confidence about. Do you think it can possibly hold?
No, I don't. Look, I think the best thing that we've got out of that is that even though the language is a little bit stern, that the Russians and the Americans are talking to each other. And I suspect that's one of the reasons why the Saudis and the Turks have both become much more aggressive on the situation, that they're trying to make sure nothing does come of it. But if the Americans and the Russians can keep talking, if they could somehow or other, maybe the Russians are feeling more confident given the results around Aleppo, that they might say, okay, we can now negotiate from strength. We can we can make some concessions, and it won't look as if we're being defeated or we're desperate for a solution. So there's a possibility there that something might come of it, but I don't, a specific ceasefire, it's very hard to imagine that's going to happen.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Anthony, for joining me this morning to speak about it.
You're welcome.